right, so here we are, Maseches Sanhedrin, and we're on Daf Chavtet, on the bait, and the fox is here, so we can begin. So here we are, Daf Chavtet on the bait, and we're at the sugya of what the din would be. We're in the middle of the question of what mahoda'a, how does a hoda'a work? In front of two witnesses, in front of a beis din, and the question was somebody was kono miyado. We went through all that yesterday. Now we have the question of, given that we have a hoda'ah that is a valid hoda'ah, and that it follows the guidelines that the Gemara laid down yesterday, we have a further question as to whether we can translate that hoda'ah into a contract. Now you have to understand that translating a hoda'ah into a contract would not mean that we have a written record of the fact that something was seen, and that's all. So to say that the Aden gave over their testimony, Baal Peh. That's not considered to be testimony. That's not a useful document to us. It would mean an actual shtar. That on the basis of what happened in front of us, we're writing up a shtar on the loans. As if somebody was Moda that he owed $100 in front of two Aden. Can the Aden then go and create an actual shtar? So-and-so owes so-and-so $100. Now, the problem with this is that, generally speaking, a shtar creates a completely new entity. That entity has all kinds of new dinim, because a milval peh, which is all that this was initially, cannot be collected from property because it doesn't create any liens. The reason it doesn't create any liens was because of our takanat hashuk, in order to make sure that we have registered loans so that a buyer could protect himself against a pre-existing loan, a lien. In this case, if a shtar would be issued, from this point on, it would create a lien on the person's property. Now, obviously, you need the person to agree that a lien should be put on his property. Secondly, if there's a shtar, then he's in a much more difficult position, because if there's a shtar and he claims, let us say, I paid the loan, and then there's a shtar, and then the owner of the shtar says, if you paid the loan, why do I have a shtar? Whereas previously, he had all types of things that he could say about the loan, I pay some of the loan, whatever. But well, as long as this guy has the shtar, he's in trouble. So to write a shtar where somebody is going to be now impacted by that shtar without his agreement is definitely a no-no. We'll see later on whether it's even possible to write a shtar that doesn't impact upon somebody legally without his commitment to have the shtar written. Because the essence of a shtar defines an interrelationship which demands that the people that are involved in the shtar, unless it's a question of Baal Korcho type of shtar, like a get and so on. But generally speaking, a shtar implies that the people named or mentioned in the shtar are interested in having the shtar created. That we'll see later on about theoretical shtarot that don't really affect him. But in this case, we want to know that if somebody was Moda, what would be the din? Says the Gemara like this, Hodah b'shnei shnayim, v'kanu miyado. So here we're two lines down from the middle of the page. Somebody was moda in front of two witnesses, and he went ahead and he made a kinyan on that hodah. Then that kinyan implies that the person is interested in creating something new, because otherwise the kinyan is meaningless. So the point of the kinyan, therefore, would be for us to assume that we could actually go ahead and write a shtar on it. And the kinyan would be his commitment to have a lien now being called on his property and so on. So there, our question would be, so kotvim, im lav, ein kotvim. There, if you don't have a kinyan, you certainly would not. But our question is, how about if he was moda in front of three people? Now there, once you have three people, even if he wasn't kono miyado, because of the fact that three people represents a beit din, assuming that his hoda'ah was mikach beit din, then we understand that it has all of the power of the court. Now, a power of a court is always to issue what they wish, either because hefter bez and hefter, this is one approach to dealing with this, or there's another approach, which is that we don't have to come onto the Koch of Bezdin today after Bezdin. So why should they? But the idea is that anything that was done in front of the Beit Din, Memela creates the same lien that a shtar would create. Because since the only reason that we made the Takona that there shall not be a lien is because we have no way for a buyer to protect himself, but once something is registered in court, then the word gets out and people know that there's a lien on this property, why then should we protect the buyer? It's as if the contract already exists. And if a contract already exists, so then what's the point? Why not write it then for him? Now, of course, you'll say, well, but that doesn't address the other issue. How about the tviya? How about the fact that if I have a contract, I can't claim that it was paid and so on? All right, so here there's two opposite approaches, actually, between Rishonim. Some learn that a contract that would be issued by a Beit Din under these circumstances only serves for proof, but it's not the same as a contract. You'd say, well, give me the contract, and therefore it doesn't serve against you. Others learn just the opposite. Once there's a psak of the Beit Din, the Gavi, the loan, it's the equivalent of having a contract anyway, and therefore you'd have to be able to prove with a deem or with a receipt that it was paid. So anyway, it wouldn't matter, even the Gavi that, to issue the contract. So Rav says, therefore, kotvin. Rav Asi amar enam kotvin. No. You don't write a shtar because the fact that he went ahead and he was moda in front of the Beit Din does not necessarily mean that he's treating this as something in front of the Beit Din. It may simply mean that he was being moda in front of the Beit Din. Now it happened to be that there were three people. But to him, there was no sense of this being a legal matter. It was just that there would be people there that could testify to it. Now, Havi Uvda, there was actually a maisa in which Rav himself, who was the one who said that Kotzvim, if it was done in front of Beit Din, was chosh leila hada Rav Asi. He was concerned, maybe Rav Asi is right. And he therefore refused, despite the fact that it was in a Beit Din, to write a shtar on him. Om Rav Ada Barava ha udita. As far as an odita is concerned, an odita is a shtar that is written on the basis of a hoda'ah. Zinin katvina vizinin lo katvina. Now, what Rav Ada Barava says, it actually is dependent on the circumstances, because from the circumstances we can ascertain whether the person meant to do the hoda'ah in front of the bezin with all the power of the court, whether it's in terms of Rashi's hefker bezin hefker, it's in terms just in a general din that it's a registered lien in the court, or whether he just meant that it should be a casual thing if it happened to be that there were three people. So that, I say the point is this, knife the yative, if there were people that were sitting there anyway, and he just walks in and says, oh, I just want you to know I borrowed so-and-so money from so-and-so. Then lo katvina. But if katvinahu ihu, if he goes ahead and he gathers three people together, why is he gathering three people together? Mm-hmm. Could he gather two people? If all he wants to do is have witnesses, why would he have gathered three people? So if he gathers three people, then we do assume that he meant to make them a bezdin. Rava says, oh, that doesn't prove anything. Even if he gathers them together, it's just convenient. Two people were talking, three people were talking, and want to leave somebody out. We said, whatever, we can't use that as a raya. Adi Amalu, he has to say to them, Habu alai dayane, you be judges on me. Even that wouldn't help. That doesn't imbue them with the true sense of a court. What would imbue a situation of three people with the power of a court is if they are sitting on the bench and they summon this person to court to hear what he has to say about this loan. And then, in front of the court to which he was summoned, he says, yes, I do agree that I gave this guy that money. Now you're talking about a real response to a legal demand. But otherwise, even if he said, Avo Alei Dayani, in a sense, that's just, I want you to take care of this for me. But it doesn't mean I can invest this with the power of the court.
Why should the borrower get all the things having a start with an industry?
Exactly. Here's the lova, and the question is whether what the lova did gives us the right to write a shtar for the malva. That's our problem. Why it's against the lova's better interest, and unless we see something that makes us suspect or makes us assume, actually, that he meant for us to be allowed to write a shtar for him, so that he went out of his way to become, or he went out of his way to collect three people, depending on the various sheep.
What should the borrower be like?
Because the borrower was the one who did it. The borrower was the one who got the three people together. Oh, now that's the old alien story again. What actually happened, as I told you, I mean, this man was threatened by the people who take him up to the spaceship every night that they were going to eat him unless he did this. So that's why he did it. But the question is, what did he do, not why did he do it? So what he did was enough to be a Machayev. Now, how about if Hoda b'metaltalei? He is moda on something that has to do with metaltalin. Now, Rashi talks about this metaltalin all the time as if we're talking about a loan. We'll see that there's some question about a lot of discussion whether Rashi means literally a loan or whether he means to metaltalin in the same sense as loan. In other words, something where if I borrowed it, say I borrowed somebody's percolator, and now the question is, I being a shoel would have to pay him back this percolator if something happened to it. So there, we give it the same din as the loan in the sense of konu miyado, kotvim. We said before, konu, then kotvim. We love in kotvim. Our problem is the karkoi. The question is, when you have karkoi, the guy is moda that so and so, this karka belongs to him. Now, if he wasn't konamiyot, can you write out a contract? Because the truth is, it makes absolutely no difference, really, does it? His having a contract, karka isn't mechusa guvaina. Karka belongs to whoever it belongs, wherever it is. I mean, there's nothing, I don't have to prove it. What are you going to say? I already gave you back this karka? Okay, fine. So I took it. Well, what is the shtar going to do? What is it going to change? So to write a shtar, lechora, would be a meaningless thing anyway, other than it saves him the trouble of needing to go through gathering together his witnesses and say, hey, didn't you hear the guy say it was my karka? Yes, we did. And so it gets, we have a shtar. So it's like, I have a deed on the karka. Nonetheless, we're not clear about this because, as I said before, we're actually raising an issue about whether contracts can be written without the das of the people about whom they're written, because even if it's not really the chol vatzot. So a meimar says, ein kotvin, marzut amar kotvin, ve'ilchot ha-kotvin. The halakha is that under such circumstances where it's no sweat off your back anyway, we will write a contract. We'll then serve you as a convenience. We'll serve the other party as a convenience, if that's all that it is. Ravina equal the Damharia. Ravina came to a place called Damharia and comes along Ravdimi Baravuna from Damharia. And he says to Ravina, what would be the din, legabi metatalim, that are extant? The percolator is here now, in his house. Nothing's happened to it. So over there, if he's moda, my, would we look at that as karka? Because in a sense, it's right here. I don't have to go looking for it. It's true that 2 minutes from now, maybe it won't be here. But in the same way that the karka is in front of us, right now, the percolator is in front of us. So what would be the thing with that? So Ravina said, well, that would be the same as karka. And we paskin, you can write on something that's right in front of you. Ravashi said, well, it's not, because it's given to Bechasri Gavina. I mean, the truth is, you still haven't gotten it out of his rishus. Karka never has to be taken from his rishus. But the very fact that this person cannot take that percolator and bring it somewhere else, this is Bechasri Gavina. I think Udita, there was a shtar Udita that did not have the proper nusach written in the shtar. And it did not say the following. Amar lana kitvo v'chitmo v'havulei. So-and-so said to us, write out a shtar to that effect, sign it, and hand it over to the lender. And we made a general nusach like that to make sure that an udita would not be written mistakenly just because the guy was moda, because as we saw before, unless he tells you it was kona, it wouldn't help that he was moda in front of you to write a shtar. Now, we're very suspicious about this because generally an udita says, the guy said that we ought to go and be writing the shtar. Abaye v'Rava d'Amitavar. So Abaye v'Rava said, well, there's no question about what the halach is. It's no different than Reish Lakish's psak. Reish Lakish's famous psak was that where there was a question as to whether a seller was a minor. So Reish Lakish said, you do not need to establish in a shtar that the seller was of age, because the witnesses are assumed not to sign on a shtar unless they know that it's not a child who's selling. So the very fact that they signed on the shtar implies that they're aware of the fact that he's a gadol. The chazaka ein ha'edim chotmim al ha'shtar, elim kenas ha'gadol. So why would we suspect that? This ending should be true over here. Why would Aiden sign an udita where they weren't told to sign an udita? What kind of comparison is that? Some say it was Rebuna Bred Rebishu asked, what do you mean they wouldn't have signed? What are you saying? Does everybody here in the Beit HaMedrash know this halacha? That you can't write a shtar unless the guy sets to write a shtar unless it's coming? I mean, we just figured this out. You're telling me now that because two Adim went in, bought a shtar from the Beis Din, and signed the shtar, well, obviously that means somebody told them, now you're quite certain that the guy told you to write the shtar. I mean, who knows this? You mean the guy that they bought the shtar from in the Beis Din, he told them that, or what? Actually, they did a little survey. And Shalino was Safi Abaye, they went and they asked the Sofrim and Abaye's Beis Din, and they knew. They went and asked the Sofrim and Rava's Beis Din, and they knew. So apparently, sometimes they do know, maybe more than you know in the Beis Din. Something that has to be done by them, and it's like, so basically, every day, it's practical, they know the law. Doesn't have to be 17. He has to be either he is adolescent or he's prepubescent, and it's rather obvious. Yeah, we're not talking about birthdays. We're talking about physical maturity. We know, I mean, there wasn't a question as to his age. And if there was, then the Adam would have found out. Ahi Udita, now there was another problem in an Udita that was signed in a strange way. It said in the Udita, the words Duchrin Pitgami, which anybody who uses modern Hebrew and goes to lawyers always knows about this, Duchran is Zikaron, and Pitgamei is Dvarim. So Zikaron Dvarim, those horrible words that we find in all our lawyer offices, right? So the Zikaron Dvarim. Now the problem is that the words Zikaron Dvarim are not used by witnesses. A Zikaron Dvarim is a legal language that is applied by a Beit Din to itself. If you're talking about testimony, you don't say Zikaron Dvarim, you say Zikaron Edut, or so on. But not Dvarim. Or any other, for that matter, v'chol lishnei de beit dina. And the same thing would be true of any type of language that is normally written by a beit din. And this thing was written completely as if it was in front of a court, and the problem was there were only two signatures on it. And generally, if there's only two signatures on a court document, it has to say, b'motav tlata havina, we were sitting as a beit din v'chad litui, and one is gone, so he's deceased. And we have now only two people signing. But that means that what was originally done was done in a Beit Din. But over here, if only two people sign, we might be afraid that two people thought that they could be a Beit Din. And they were sitting as a Beit Din. Now it was signed by two people, but it didn't say that we had been sitting the Motzav Tzlata and one isn't here. So Ravina Lameimah Haina the Rech Lakish. Ravina said, well, I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, isn't it a chazaka that people wouldn't have written out a star and they weren't the Beit Din? In the same way that Rech Lakish says, Adam wouldn't have signed if the person was a minor. Here too, Dayani wouldn't have signed if there were only two of them and not three of them. Amalei Rav Nosson Bar Ami, no. Okay, I mean, Mishmei the Rava. What Rava taught about this is that Kol Ki Hai Gavna Chashinan Le Beit Din To'in. We are indeed afraid in this case that they may have thought that two is sufficient to be a bezdin, and we'll see later on that actually, according to Shmuel, two is sufficient to be a bezdin, because what? Are we talking about the child being a maniac or the witness being a maniac? We're getting close right here in this courtroom. Omer Nachba Yitzchak Ikatav Ba Beidina. To Lotzar. But if they actually wrote the word Beit Din. Now, everybody knows Beit Din is not two people. Says, so, well, why not? Dilma Beit Din Chatzufu. Dilma Shmuel. Shnayim Shadanu Dinayim Din. How do we know that they're not a Beit Din Chatzuf? Shmuel said two people who done actually do have the Kalach Beit Din. Ela Shenikra'u Beit Din Chatzuf. They're called a Beit Din Chatzuf. But Bidiabad, they would be doing anyway what is done as if they were a Beit Din, and we don't paskin like that, so how do we know that that's not what they meant? Well, it didn't just say Beit Dina, I mean it said Beit Dina de Rabbana Ashi. Well, that's all very nice. I mean, Dima Rabbana de Rabashi hold like Shmuel. Not that that means they were acting in a chatzuf manner, but perhaps they thought in a case where they had been accepted as the Din. So in other words, let's say the people came in and said, okay, you don us, even though you're only two. And it's not a Beit Din Chatzuf. Because you can accept anybody to be dying, right? But they thought that nonetheless it was imbued with the full power of a Beit Din because of Shmuel. The only thing that was Chatzuf about it, they held, what would have been if they had done it to impose themselves. But if the guy accepts them, then it's not even Chatzuf. So they have the power of the Beit Din. And that's not true either, because they're possibly like Shmuel. That's true. Well, you know what? Dichtiv, well, actually, it said more than that. The Beit Din and the Ravana Asha, Ashi va'omaran Ravana Ashi, and Ravana Ashi told us to proceed in this fashion. So obviously, he wouldn't have told them to proceed if it hadn't been a Beis Din of Sholosh. Ten Rabban. Amar lahem echad. Tosus asked that question earlier, actually, the first time that Shmuel said his maimer, way back at the beginning of the Masechta. And there's a lot of approaches to it. I mean, one is that alti means don't be normally in that kind of position. or others say if you're not in a matzav in which you are an absolute mumcha and baki and din, you should go. So it's an obvious question. I have a question. Well, what about the din of yachid mumcha? Tosu says, what about the Mishnah Novos? Okay, we can go back and look at Tosu. Son of Rabban, Amar Lehem Echad, Ani Ra'iti Abitem Shiz, Nin Ma'od B'Shiva Tevel Migdal. Suppose somebody comes over to Yitomim and says, you know, I saw your father hiding money in the drawer, in that closet, and he told me as he was doing so, Amar Shoplonihin, I want you to know this money belongs to Mr. So-and-so, or this money is my Shoshani, has to be taken up to Yerushalayim. So if that money is currently in the house, Lo Amar Klum doesn't mean a darn thing, because he's only an Eidech, but why should we believe him? Your son can say, you know, tough luck. But if it's Bisadeh, now this person who knew that it was there could have just gone and taken it and given it to the person he claims it belongs to. So then he essentially has a Migo, and therefore Dvarav Kayamin. Klalor Shaldavah, that's called Biyado. So Klalor Shaldavah, Kosha Biyado Litzlan. Generally, the rule is, if he would have been able to do whatever he wants about this thing all on his own, and no one would have known the difference. So then, Dvarav Kayamin. But in the Adonai Klan, Lo Amakalun. How about if the kids themselves saw their father? But they see their own father hiding money. The Amar, he tells his kids, oh, this money belongs to so-and-so. Or this money is my Kishayi money. Well, then it depends on the tone, basically. If it's Kamoser Dvarav, in Kamoser Dvarav Kayamin, if he's telling it to them in all seriousness, and then it means that he wants them to take over. And I want your kids to know this money belongs to so-and-so. Anything that happens to me, you see to it, it's taken care of. And obviously, okay, then it's serious. In Kimarim, but if he's saying, well, now this money, this doesn't belong to me. It just means he doesn't want his kids to think he has cash and start making more telephone calls. So there, lo amar klum, as if it's going to make a difference. How about somebody whose father died has no idea where his father hides his money? And he has a dream. Uba balak alone, and in his dream he's told, kak v'kakein, there's $4,761.21 in a wallet that can be found under the seventh roof beam counted from the right. Sure enough, it's there. Problem is that the dream also said, by the way, that money isn't yours, it belongs to so-and-so. Or it's my Shoshani money. He could take the money and keep it. Because Vivrei Chalamot Lo Ma'alin V'Lo Moridin. What's the difference what a dream is? And a dream can be anything. So therefore, you can have some exact information, you can have some inexact information. Certainly you don't have to take it seriously just because you have to find $4,761.31. Sorry. Shnayim Omrim Zakai. So, we said in the Mishnah, two say Zakai, one says Chayev, saying Zakai, two say Chayev, one says Zakai. But how do you write up the Pesak Din? Now, Rabbi A pointed this out yesterday, we didn't get into it, that when it comes to a court decision, usually we write up the court decision, we say who said what, we have a dissenting opinion, we write up the dissenting opinion. But the Mishnah said if you go out and you tell the Baal Din who said what, then that's called Olech Rachiu, Megala Sod. So how do we write it up? Rabbi Yochanan say, well, we just write up Zakai. We don't say who said what. Reish Lakish says, we say Ploni Uploni Mizakin. Such and such a person, the Dayanim were Mizakya, and the Ploni was Mechayev. Rabbi Elazar Omer, what we write is, Mi Divrehem, out of the Diyun in our courtroom, Nizdakeh Ploni, which makes it very clear that not everybody agreed, but it doesn't say who didn't agree. My Benayu, so what exactly would they be arguing in? Well, they're arguing in, Yikah Benayu, L'shalume Iyu, Manata Bahadai. The question is whether the dissenting opinion is also responsible for the decision of the court, so that if it turns out that they were a Beis Din that had been to'eh in a Dvar Mishnah, now they have to pay for what they were mumchen, they were to'in, and we can't be marked through the din, and now they have to pay. Does he have to pay too? That's the question. So if he has to pay too, so what's the difference? So, the Laman Yom Zakai Mishalein, Laman Yom Ploni Ploni Mishalein, Ploni Ploni Mishalein, Lo Mishalein. Not a question on the earth. If you just write the word Zakai. So obviously we hold that, well, he's responsible for that Zakai too. If the guy lost his money because of it, he's going to have to pay his one-third of the money because he was a member of that court. Whereas if we hold that he's not responsible for the majority opinion. So then we have to know, who can you collect from?
If he says, I don't know, he's thrown off the court, replaced by two, he's off the hook, and they only run two.
Well, yeah, it depends. It's a little bit complicated, because that depends whether he could come back into the court or not. We'll see a little bit about it. L'man d'yom zakai mishalim. Well, wait a sec. You're telling me somebody holds it for man said zakai, and everybody else said chayav. He's going to have to pay because the guys who said chayav were wrong. Why can't he simply say to them, hey, you idiots, if you'd listened to me, you wouldn't be paying neither. What are you telling me now? I have to pay for you? I said not to do that. So, if you'd listened to me, I'd tell Nami Lo Shalmita, you wouldn't have to pay yourself. It's absurd to say that he should have to pay, isn't it? Well, yeah, I guess so. The question is, did they have to pay his portion? So, Liman Diyama Zakai, if you just say the word Zakai, it's because it doesn't make any difference. Because the Baal Din can collect the whole thing from the court, and those two guys will have to pay that whole thing. But, if you're writing Plonim Zakai, Plonim Machayim, so then, Lo Mishami, it means that the Baal Din has to know he's only going to be able to recover that amount. Well, wait a second, you're telling me that somebody holds that where the man said Zakai, the other people have to pay his chaylik? Why can't they say to him, you jerk, if you had never joined our bezdin, then we wouldn't be in this pickle in the first place. We would only have had two dayanim. It's all your fault. But why should they pay? Why should they now be in this matzav? There wouldn't have even been a din.
Sounds like the
zoning
argument we had
adopted,
but it's different.
Yeah. Ela ike
binayu.
Actually, the question over here is whether we say lo telef rafi ubi'amecha. Rabbi Yochanan says zakai because he doesn't want it to be known. He says writing it up is also lo telef rafi. Reish Lakish says, well, you know, what are you supposed to do? You have to write plonim plonim zakai or plonim plonim b'chayim. Otherwise, it's nifsek shikra. Because what are we going to say? Zakai, that sounds like it was a unanimous opinion of this court. But you're like, well, that's not true. So how do we write a shtar which is not true? You can't say, if it's nifsek shikra, then it's not a holek rock. A holek rock is where I'm interested in giving you the information. But where this information exists on its own because it's what is mechuyav because of the situation, it's not called holek rock. So there's no problem of holek rock, which Tosfos points out. Rabbi Elazar says, well, I think we have to worry about both of these opinions. Certainly we need to avoid holek rock. On the other hand, we can't have a nifsek shikra. So what we do is we write a language which makes it evident that it wasn't unanimous. So we say, mitoch hadiyunim. He turned out to be nizdaka, but not that he's zaka. He was nizdaka because we didn't have a majority to say otherwise. And therefore we write, midivrayen, is that taplon? And then we say, gavruat adavar, ayumach nisimotam. When they finished the diyun, then they were, this examination, they brought them back in. Brought who back in? Laman. Even the Baal Dinin. We're talking about the defendants. I thought we said Hasam Kaine. They're there the whole time. I mean, the entire discussion of the testimony was in front of the Baal Din. Because Ein Me'idim, Ela Bifnei HaBaal Din. So it wasn't the Baal Dinim. Ela La'edim. So what you're saying is now that the Edim are supposed to now be brought back together. We examine them separately. And what it's saying is that for some reason it's essential that now the two witnesses say their testimony together. And why would that be? Shaman de lo ka Rabbi Natan. Clearly the Mishnah, therefore, if you say that's what it means, would be going not like Rabbi Natan, the Tanya. Le'olam ein edutan mitztarefet, ad shiyiru shnehem ke'echad. Zanakama says, Edus can only be mitztaref if they both saw the same mice at the same time. Rabbi Yeshua ben Tarchum, afilu b'zeach hazeh. It doesn't matter whether it's the same time or not, let's say, on Sunday, one witness hears the guy being Moda, Reuben is Moda to Yoz Shimon. And then on Monday, the same guy says in front of another witness, he admits, yes, Reuben owes Shimon. Well, bottom line is, we have two witnesses that say that he was Moda that he owes Shimon. We'll get into this. Now, that's as far as what he sees. How about when he says it? And here's the part that's important to us right now. According to the Tzadikama, they both have to be made simultaneously. So we can't have one come in today and another come in tomorrow and say, well, we now have two witnesses to the effect that. Rabbi Natan omer, shomim devarav shazah yom tshiyom v'chavei olach melcha shomim et devarav. Because according to Rabbi Nassim, he says, no, what's the problem? One aid comes in today, we hear him in Bezdin. Another aid comes in tomorrow, we hear him. Now we have two aid into the same testimony. Why is that a problem? If our Mishnah says that you have to bring the aid back in order that they should be made together, obviously, the Tan of our Mishnah does not hold of Rabbi Natan, right? So Zibor, no, not right. Leolam Labale Dinim. Who's to say that it means that it's the Edim? Maybe it really is the Bale Dinim. And what it means is this. It's going according to Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah pointed out that Kacha Yamin Hagan, Nikiye Adach of Yerushalayim, Machnisim Labale Dinim, Shomim Divrehem, Machnisim Et Edim, Shomim Divrehem. Yes. But then Motzi Moton Lechutz. When it's saying over here, we bring them in and say, Poniat Achayat, Poniat Azakat. We actually had asked them to leave the room, because we asked everyone to leave the room except for the Dayanim, because it's behind closed doors, the Diyun itself. And that's in order to avoid people discussing who said what and so on. And then those Im v'notnim v'davar, and then Gamru, and that's what our mission means, after the discussion, we then bring back in not the Aiden for testimony, because after all, since Rabbi Nathan, the Aiden don't have to be testified together, they've already said their testimony separately, and now we bring in the Baal Din to inform him of the Pesach. Kloniyat HaChayav, Kloniyat HaZakai. They were in front of the Baal Din, but now for the Diyun, we have them to leave. Yeah. But the Braisa says, that's not what it means. The Braisa says, V'atanya, Gamru et HaDavar Machnisin et HaEdim. Not the Baal Edimim. So that, well, no, okay, fine, that Bryce is clearly like that, not like Rabbi Natan. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, but you were saying that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Natan. That's not necessarily true. The Mishnah may, in fact, mean the Baal Edim. Now, of course, the Mishnah was left, as usual, open to multiple interpretations of the Mishnah. It could be going like Rabbi Natan, or it could be going as the Bryce that took the Mishnah to mean like the Chachamim, and it's referring to bringing back the Edim. Gufa. I said he didn't get to that Machlokas for a moment. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Kochomer Atzivu Bezachazen. Now over here, we're not talking about when they testified, we're talking about when they witnessed. Do they need to witness something together, or can they witness two separate things that add up to the same bottom line? That's our question. Now, but my commitment, what is this Makot is based on? Well, you might say Makrov, you're based on the Svar. I mean, it's based on either, you could say it's based on an analysis of the Pasuk, you could say they're just arguing rationally. People are saying, Mr. Bar, let's take a look at the rationale behind both sides. Amunah dekamasid high, lo kamasid high. Umunah dekamasid high, lo kamasid high. I mean, the Chachamim would say, look, I don't understand what you're saying. They're saying, I saw Reuven lend money to Shimon on Sunday. And you other guys say, I saw Reuven lend money to Shimon on Monday. Well, obviously, it's different money. You couldn't have lent the same money on Monday, Sunday, and Monday. So the testimony cannot be mitzvareid because you're not talking about having witnessed the same thing. Whereas comes along now Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, well, after all the Ida, Amana Ba'alma Tavaya from Isadi. We never really concern ourselves with the question, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, of what it was that created the Chiyuv. All that we're interested in terms of the testimony is that the Chiyuv exists. So that really, if we have two witnesses that say, a Chiyuv of $100 exists from Reuven to Shimon, that is testimony. What's the difference? Why it exists? Now, there's one caveat to all this, which is that if the Toveya said he owes me $100 and not $200, then obviously this isn't going to work. Because then he himself is saying there was only one event, not two events. He's saying one of these guys didn't see what he claims to see. If he himself says that, then there's nothing to discuss. So obviously the Tovea himself is willing to put in a claim for more. He's only got these two witnesses who together add up to $100. He wants $100 of his claim. Nibai Seva, so that's assuming that it's the rationale of how to understand witnesses that we're arguing about. Or it could be we're arguing about how to understand the pasuk. Nibai Seva Krodichsiv. V'hu Eid O Ra'ah O Yada. So here it's talking about the din of a Shvuat Ha'edut. And the halach is over there, you need to be two witnesses in order to be chayav, because otherwise you wouldn't have made a difference anyway coming into court. V'tanya. Now, the Braita makes it very clear. Why does the Torah say, Lo yakum eid echad be'ish? I mean, I know how to speak Hebrew. It would have said, Lo yakum eid be'ish. Doesn't that mean eid echad be'ish? As opposed to eidim. So what that teaches us, says the Tana, I mean, any of the Eshu echad, Ma talmud lomar lo yakum eid echad. Zeb nei av. This teaches us a general rule. That kol makom shenemar eid, harei kam shnayim. The word aid is taken to mean testimony, really, which means that there's two people here. And if you want to talk about a witness, you'd have to say aid echad. Ad sheyiparet lecha katuv echad. Now, when the Torah talks about testimony as for who aid, why then say it that way? Meaning, really, the aim aidim. And the reason, after Rachmana Baloshan Chad lemeimar, ad akazutavayo kechad. The Torah is trying to tell you that the two equal one. Meaning, you have to have seen this together. So the definition of a dut is that you act in concert, and not that it's the yotzei b'tov dvarecha that it ends up that you he owns $100. The idah, the other man, the Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. What does he say to that lovely deer? He says, "Oh, that's all very nice, except that the pasuk continues, and you've conveniently ignored the facts. It says v'hu eid, yes, but it also says o ra'ah." Oh, yadana, what is that supposed to mean? Oh, you say testimony? Conjecture? Figured it out? What does ora al yada mean? So I tell you what it means. It means that you don't have to see it together. You need only to add up together. So if one knows this way and one knows that way, maybe one heard a hoda'ah, one heard a hoda'ah. That's also good. One saw a hoda'ah, one heard a hoda'ah. So he's an aid and he's a yada. Good. Mikomakom. Then you said furthermore, when they come to testify, they have to testify together. Whereas Rabbi Natan said, we can put it together in the court. Now explain to me what exactly they're arguing in here, but here too, we can understand this as an argument of svara, or not understand the pasuk. Ibai de masvara. Mar savar, the Tanakhama says like this. If a single witness comes into court and says, Ruben owes Shimon $100, the effect of such a testimony is not to make him chayav to pay $100. All that it does is it makes him need to swear that he doesn't owe the money, because an eid echad can only force a person to swear. And when the other person comes in, he's not coming as a witness to collect $100 either. He's only coming to create a chiyuv of a shvua, legabi a tviya of $100. Now, how can we put together two witnesses that are coming for the purpose of shvua and suddenly turn them into a new type of testimony, which is to actually be able to collect? Therefore, I say when they first come in, they have to come in as a group so that the context of their testimony is the context of collection. So kiyotzi yedechad l'shvuahati l'mamona loati. Whereas Rabbi Nosson says, now come on, otu kiyotzi ba'ari adari b'chat puma komishade. And when they walk in together, I mean, do they have one mouth or do they have two mouths? Do we have them talking simultaneously, one into one ear of each dayan and one into the other ear of each dayan? I mean, obviously the context is defined by how we view what is happening. We're able to be mitzarev them despite the fact that they're not talking simultaneously. Why can we not define the context retroactively? This is how we are going to accept these witnesses now, because we're accepting them as the of Mamon. So that's if the argument is an argument in Svara. If the argument is an argument in the Pasuk, Ibai de Makra, it could be a Pasuk. The Pasuk continues, the same Pasuk, Baru Eid, O Ra'ah, O Yada. If he refuses to testify, and he swears, it's talking about over there that he swears that he doesn't have the yediyah, then he shall bear his sin. Now that seems to be comparing the second part of the pasuk to the first part. The first part was talking about he saw. The second part of the pasuk is talking about now he has to say what he saw. So it could be here that both the Tanakam and Rabbi Natan hold like the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. And they assume that the meaning of the first part of the Pasuk Vuhu Eid means that they saw as one. And now the question is, they're arguing in whether we are being mekish. Are we comparing the second part of the pasuk, which is the Haggadah, to the first part of the pasuk, to the Riyah? So, Hakabakushi Haggadah Riyah Kamit. Again? Marsava Makshinan Haggadah Riyah. One man Yomah says what? And this is the Tanakhama. Being as the first part of the pasuk said, Vahu Eid, Roshon Yakid, which meant that you have to see it together. So when it says Imlo Yagid, it also means to say it together. And the other man, the Amar, says, Lo Makshin, there's two different issues here. Each aid has to determine whether he's going to go ahead and be Meid. Reb Shimon ben Elyakim, there was a Maisa about this issue. And let's give a little background. The background is this. Reb Shimon ben Elyakim, for many years, wanted to see to it that Reb Yossi bar Rebbe Chanina, that he considered to be a very great man, should get Smicha. Velokom Iskaya Milsa, he never managed to persuade anybody to give Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Smicha. Now one day they happened to be sitting at a bezin in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Kayasi came to Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lahu, he says to the people that are there, and we have of course the court, and then we have our rows of the Talmidim, or the potential replacements for Dayanim, or additions for Dayanim, we have in front of the court. Right? Those are the additional rows. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, we've got a problem over here. I need some information. Is there anyone off the bench that knows whether the halakha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha or not, and can we accept now testimony that was seen at different times? So jumps up Rabbi Shimon ben Elyakim, and he says, well, I don't know, but I know he knows. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina, he's a genius, he knows. All my life, Rabbi Yochanan says, well, if he knows, let him talk. Lema izo. On my lay, well, I mean, so he says to Rabbi Yochanan, well, I think, I mean, if he's going to talk and you're going to bring him up to the bench, don't you think you should give him smicha first to put him on the bench? Then he could talk. So, lismichei ma'beresha, give him smicha first. Sante, he gives him smicha. Fine. On my lay, beni. All right, now we're over on, we're done with that. And note that he now calls him my son. And in fact, this was, we found this by Elio as well. The moment that you've accepted someone as your Rav, then he relates to you back as your son. Right, first, remember, there was a story in Brochus. Amalei b'ni, emorli ketzad shamata. Tell me what it is that you heard about this issue. Amalei, he says to Rabbi Yochanan, kach shamati. What I heard was, shemoda Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha l'Rabbi Natan. That Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha himself agrees with Rabbi Natan that in the same way that you don't need Re'iyah at the same time, you don't need Haggadah at the same time. Says Rabbi Yochanan, oh, for God's sake, was Zehu Tzrachli? I need somebody to tell me that. I could have got that off of the internet. I mean, Hashka, Uma Ikari Iyabadi Adari. I mean, if Rabbi Yoshua is ready to say that the essence of the testimony can be seen now, doesn't have to be Amr of Yeshua ben Korcha lo ba'inan. It doesn't have to be together. Haggadami boy, which was only a secondary issue, whether the Haggadah, we're going to compare the second part of the pasuk to the first part of the pasuk. He doesn't know about the first part of the pasuk. I don't understand. What does he think he's adding? Look, I mean, we gave you smich already. I guess it's too late. Amr of Yisrael, Shmaimin Agava Ravak, even the Istamic summit. We see from here there's two different Lashonot. They mean very different things. Even the samich means once he gave smicha, it's too late and he can't take his smicha back, which is not true. And a smicha that was the ta'ut can be taken back. And therefore, they changed the Lashon to read even the istamer. A great man was roy for smicha, having gotten his smicha, it's a done deal. Even though it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan really didn't need to give him smicha. Omer b'chia baravin amarav halachak Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. Rav here is quoted as saying, we talk like Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, bein b'karka'ot. Dain the metaltalin, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, we understand the karka, because the karka is always the same karka. I mean, and they're both going to be made on the karka. They're going to say, you know, that this guy has a chazaka on this karka, and it's obviously the same karka. Ula Amar, halak Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, the karka oat, yes, the karka oat. Avalob the metaltalin, you couldn't say that in, when it comes to metaltalin, in which it's maybe not the same mana. So we couldn't talk to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha because that would imply the bottom line is what counts. And maybe it's the actual thing that counts. Amalei Abaye, I don't understand what you're saying. Halak Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. What does that mean? Did anybody argue on Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha when it came to Karka? And I thought the whole Machlokas was only when it came to Metaltalin. halacha miklal b'pligi? Are you assuming that the Rabbanim disagreed with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, even where it's obvious that they're both talking about the same piece of property? The Amar of Av, Amar of Un, Amar of Modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha be'edut karka. I was taught in the name of Rav that nobody would have disagreed. And when it comes to karka, well, of course they don't have to see the same hoda at the same time. V'tani Ravidi Baravin, and also Ravidi Baravin was involved in the Zika debate. Karna, you know, Karna, many Chachomim had their own Mishnayas. Rebbe's Mishnah was the one that was Mekubali, but everybody kept the Seder Mishnayas for themselves. In Karna's Beis HaMedrash, she was going over the Dinim of the Zika there in that Seder HaMishnayas. And there they said, Modim Chachomim Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Beidud Bechor. When it comes to the question of whether a certain animal is a bechor, so obviously dealing with the same bechor, not a bechor, whether the mumin that are in this animal were done by accident, and we were metaken that we need to know that. In other words, we're choshesh that it was done on purpose, because the kohanim, of course, makes a big difference to them if there's a mumin of bechor, because then they get to eat it. So in the takana, we don't allow the shechita of a bechor without testimony that the mumin was an accident. So there, it's the same animal. So the chachamim motor of Yishuv and talk about that. They're more about edut karka, where somebody was mowed on karka. They're more on edut chazaka, where somebody, one ate is made, well, on the same piece of karka. He ate the first 3 years of Shemitah. I saw him on this piece of property. The other one says, I saw him the last 3 years of Shemitah on this piece of property. So there, too, the bottom line is that the man has a chazaka of 3 years on this, because it's the same piece of property. The chain, sheva bein, sheva bat, we're also our moda that when it's talking about the same body, that they can be made, this boy or this girl is a godel, and therefore whatever, whether it's terms of contract or whatever, that they're one misarga. I understand, what are you asking? So you don't like it? Is that it? Gavra, gavra, karamita. You've been asking on me from non-reliable sources. You're telling me Rav, or you're telling me Karna. Karna's mission isn't binding on me. It's not a brisa that was passed by Rav Chiya. And therefore, you know, okay, I understand. That's what Karna held. I mean, so. By the way, what were you saying? Bein ubabat? What exactly is a testimony about a bein ubabat? I mean, does that mean that one eight says, well, I saw a pubic hair in location X? And the other one says, well, I saw a pubic hair in location Y? They're not talking about the same. I mean, neither of them saw that the child was a godel, right? They all saw half of gadlut. That's not only half of a testimony. That's a half of what it is they're testifying on. But certainly, that's not.
Two halves or three.
We need two halves.
Two halves.
Yeah. So, but if we only have a half, this is not only a half a testimony. This is a half a dover, right? So it's not only Karnea. You wanted to say it, right? I don't know. I think that was really high quality. Really high quality. So, Ilema, Echad Omer Achat Bigaba. Echad Omer Achat Bikreitzada. This is a euphemism. One says, I saw one towards her back, or I saw one towards her stomach. But so then we got a Chetzi Davar and a Chetzi Edut. Neither saw two signs of puberty, which is what we need. So that can't be what. Ela echad mishnayim begabav, echad mishnayim begreisa. The idea over here is each one says, "Look, I saw signs of puberty." Now the question is, okay, again, same thing. I saw him lend $100. It's not the same $100, but it's the bottom line again. Pointing to Yosher ben Korcha, we say, "Well, okay, what were you saying? You're saying he's a godel. You're saying he owes $100. That's what we hear. Nothing else interests us. So that must be what it's talking about." I always say, says Rav Yosef, the halacha, and I quote Ula on this, the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Korcha, when you're talking about karka or metalton. The Rabbanan who came from Achuzah say, and they quote Rabbi Zera, who is quoting Rav, that only the karka oath, yes, avaloda metalton, when it comes to the metalton, we cannot be metalton, because how do you know we're talking about the same thing at all? So as Rav says, certainly we're not going to pass, we're talking about two different things to make a bottom line out of two different things. And this is Rav Lathayme. This is Rav Lashitato, because the Omar Rav, Hoda'ah Achar Hoda'ah. Hoda'ah Achar Halva'ah. Mitzparf. If you've got somebody who is Moda on Sunday in front of a witness, and another witness says, well, he was Moda to me on Monday. You could be mitzarik, those two things. Or if somebody is moda on Monday to the halva'ah that he took out on Sunday in front of an aid, there too, he's talking about the same thing. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, well, why? How do we know that the two hoda'ot are the same hoda'ah? They're not the same, then maybe it's not the same thing. But the hoda'ah apa halva'ah means the same thing. We saw the loan by one witness, and then another witness the next day heard the man admit to the loan that he had taken out the day before. So there you're mitzvah. But halva'ah, halva'ah, a loan made on Sunday and a loan made on Monday, each one having one witness, that's two different things. Or a loan made after the guy already admitted that he owed the money, obviously this loan is a different loan than the one that he was being motored to the day before, loan mitzvah. So therefore, this is Rav Shita, so you cannot be mitzvah of something where it's a different mana. A mana to kamas and I, lo kamas and I, that is a fatal objection to Rav Yeshua ben Korach, says Rav. Now, when Nachum bar Yitzchak met Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua, and he said, I never understood this. I thought it was mad. Maishna halva'ah halva'ah. I mean, you're telling me that if we see a loan on Sunday and a loan on Monday, we cannot be mitzvah at the testimony because, I mean, obviously, that the mana de kachazi hai, lo kachazi hai. You're telling me because what one person saw, $100, is different than the $100 that the other person saw. And therefore, they can't be mitzvah. Well, hoda'ah, hoda'ah is no different. Hoda'ah, hoda'ah nami. I mean, maybe the mana that he was being motored to on Sunday is not the same mana that he's being motored to on Monday. What gives you the idea that it's the same? I mean, maybe it's the same. But maybe doesn't mean anything. I mean, we need that testimony. I'll tell you, he said. The Omar Leila Haibata, obviously, Rav only meant in the case where he said to the second guy, oh, you know, I was motor about this yesterday to so-and-so, so I want you to know. I want you to know about it, too. So, I mean, part of what he was saying is that it's the same thing. So, behind one of those, they come up, this mana that I now admit that I owe, and I'm admitting it to you, I want you to know I was already motor on that yesterday to somebody else. And he says, who it is? Oh, well, he says, that's very nice, but it only handles half of the problem. Because Akati Batra Yada, Kamalo Yada, the first guy doesn't know, does he? Only the second guy knows. But then the first guy cannot say, I am being made about the money that the second guy is being made, because how does he know? As far as he's concerned, it may be two separate monos, so therefore how do we put them together? Oh, well, you see, he then goes back to the first guy, and he tells him, Dada Ozio, and Omar Leila Kamai, goes back to the first guy, and he says, oh, by the way, the mana that I was mowed in front of you, I was also mowed in front of this guy today. Ah, he said, I'm so happy. Whew, this has been bothering me for years. I thought it was something was crazy. Now you've explained it beautifully. Of course, that's all that Rob meant. So, one second. So he said, oh, now you're happy? That's pretty dumb. Why are you happy? I just fooled you. Oh, my nechuta, what makes you so happy about that, huh? Because the Rava became a Rav Sheshet Shadabanarga. Rava, maybe it was Rav Sheshet, threw a hatchet into this here. It doesn't work at all. It's actually ridiculous if you think about it. Because if that's the case, then it's a hoda'ah halva'ah. It lav haino hoda'ah halva'ah. What are you saying? You're saying if he was moda after halva'ah, so then we're saying that they need to know that it was the same one because he identified it. Okay, fine, so we know it's the same one. So then, what are you adding? This hoda'ah halva'ah, the way you're doing it, has simply created a case of hoda'ah halva'ah because you have to go back anyway and tell the first one. So the original thing that the first one saw didn't mean a darn thing anyways. It's the equivalent of hoda'ah halva'ah. So you're playing games with words over here, but you haven't added any information whatsoever. Oh. Omar Leila, I'm the Shmeli Alay. They always say about people like you. So I need to declare, first you go ahead and you uproot trees, and then zakfitalu, you put it back in the ground. I mean, you had this brilliant question, you uprooted it, you made me think you were great, I come back the next day and it's replanted. Well, what's the point of going back and forth like this, just to drive us nuts? Okay, I guess I see people are sneaking out, it's in the background, in the foreground, so I guess we'll stop here, even though we're right in the middle, smack bang, of exciting things. And we'll continue Bezrat Hashem tomorrow at 7:30.
P.M.
P.M.